This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's such a wonderful privilege, Lord God, to stand here in awe of you, Lord God. You are worthy of praise, Lord God. Everything about you shines of glory and amazing wonder, Lord God. And we cannot wait to join you one day in heaven and to give you praise, Lord God, in your heavens, Lord God, together with you. Thank you for bringing this opportunity to us on earth, Lord God, already, Lord God, the new heaven birthed through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord God. I just want to say thank you, Lord God. And I want to say that you are worthy, worthy of my heart, worthy of my dreams, Lord God. You are worthy of all my fears and anxiety, Lord God. Everything that this world wants to bring and lay on us like a heavy weight, Lord God, you come and you take it away. There is no one like you. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you to the worship team. I think the kids, Melissa, you can, they're gone. Okay, great. Wonderful. Everybody, welcome to our service. My name is Christo Versteeg, and I've been doing a couple of sermons on family. I love family, but God spoke to me about the service specifically about the word beauty. The word beauty, and I don't know who of you have realized or have seen in the fields around the cities, there are daffodils springing up. Huh? That is wonderful. There is some beauty on its way. If you haven't stayed in the Netherlands long, this is a wonderful opportunity where you'll see that first it's the daffodils and then the tulips and then this whole countryside. It just speaks of a spring that's on its way. That makes me very excited. So if you feel that excitement, I think today is going to be a wonderful day, and I'm really thankful for everybody being here, all the new visitors. It's really great to have you and to speak to you and to share this word, this beauty, this wonderful word, beauty. And this word, of course, brings to mind many things, many thoughts. And God said, preach about beauty. It is easy enough to think that something is beautiful, to say this is beautiful. And we see artworks and landscapes and everything that is beautiful. We see people that are beautiful. And God came to me and he said, I don't just make things that look beautiful. I make things that are beautiful. And that really touched my heart, to know that a part of my being, not just how I look and what I dress, a part of who I am is beautiful. And that really opened up so many, it really brought so many, the weight is so, the word is so heavy, beauty is so heavy. You need to study it to really understand its true significance. It touches us as human beings, it touches God's being, it's used for creation all around us, this word beauty brings so much weight. And I think in today's culture, this word has lost its value or its depth. And what better place from the author of beauty to go and study, to see what does he mean when he says, You are beautiful. For this, of course, God's word is the most wonderful source of his character and of how he sees the world and of his intentions with the world. And Psalm 27 verse 4 was kind of my first start looking at God's beauty, the author of beauty. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only I do seek, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The beauty of the Lord. God is beautiful, and he creates beauty. And he created the creation around us, the stars and the moon and the sun and people and plants and animals. And this is all beautiful, as you read in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God's creation is beautiful. So, once we learn to see beauty for what it truly is, we will see it much more clearly around us and in other people. And I would like to delve into three main areas that I think the word beauty touches on. Ourselves, our families, of course. I'm very passionate about families, about creation, and about the work of Jesus, the restoration that he will bring. And I would like to pray for the sermon, if you give me just a second. Lord God, it feels like we sit with a seed of an idea or of a revelation in our hearts, Lord God. And I pray today that this your beauty and the word beauty that you have given us in your word, Lord God, that would spring forth, that the seeds would take root, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord God. And that as beauty starts to shine from us, and as we start to seek beauty, that we will find you, God, and we would be fulfilled by being in your presence, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that through your blood and through your cross, we can enter into the throne room, Lord God, and we can enter into your presence, Lord God, and we can experience your beauty. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Let's start with the typical idea of the word beauty. It is, of course, people. People are beautiful. But the verse in 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 4, showed an interesting distinction that you have to make when you speak about the beauty of people. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Very interesting to see that God says that yes, we have an outer beauty that people see, but there is an inner beauty as well. Both of them are part of us. But some people don't even know that they can be beautiful on the inside. They just focus on their outer beauty. And God invites us, as Peter said, rather should be that of your inner self, unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. This outer beauty, of course, we know it every day. We see how this is really hyped up. And is used as a way of capturing people's attention. Because we were made to see beauty and we were made to appreciate beauty. But sometimes the world uses that. And you see that when you look when you drive around and you see billboards, when you walk next to magazine covers, everything promotes the sense of glamour, the sense of extravagance, the sense of excessive beauty. As if that is the only thing that defines you as a human being. It's an interesting verse in Genesis 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. That's a curious scripture sometimes, to think that they realized they were naked. They were naked. I think Adam and Eve walked around, and then at some point they realized, we are naked. And as far as I know, and I haven't talked to any animals, but we are the only species or animal that realize sometimes, that realize we can be naked. That's very interesting. No. The cat doesn't hide away, or a dog doesn't feel naked. They just feel like a dog or a cat walking around. And this speaks to me, or what it refers to is that fall, how the fall impacted how we see ourselves and how we see other people. It is part of the fall that brought with it lust, envy, and shame. They felt ashamed of their nakedness. And this weakness is unfortunately exploited many times to make money. Men are exploited through pornography. Women are exploited by showing that this is the only way to be truly yourself. And I would say that people that have used the word beauty to rather speak of attractiveness. The word attractive, yes, that is something that is only refers to the outer and our appearance. But people, the word beauty has been stolen, I would say. It has been stolen. And it has been watered down, because true beauty covers so much more than just outward appearance. is it wrong to make yourself beautiful or attractive? No. God made us to feel attracted to someone. It is part of God's plan for a man and a woman to come together. It's part of God's plan for families. It's an important part in this husband and wife relationship. And husbands, I want to encourage you. Tell your wife she looks beautiful. It's really important to have that culture of appreciation and of affirmation in our families, right? And ladies, give your husbands a wink and a smile every once in a while. Let them feel, wow, you see them. It's really part of God's plan, this attractiveness and this outward appearance. But what we really, as Christians, need to cultivate and to build is our inner beauty. Rather than saying beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? Attractiveness is in the eye of the beholder. True beauty is a part of us. And I want to read from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. These are good thoughts to cultivate in your mind. It will flow into, and what I read in Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Inner beauty speaks of our character. Our character that could be bound in sin. Our inner character that could harbor evil thoughts and malicious intent. And God invites us to say that this was one of the things that we lost in the fall, but Jesus wants to restore us. Our inner beauty is beautiful, but if we are not saved, it is fallen. How do we cultivate this inner beauty? We have to renew our thoughts, as we read in Philippians 4, verse 8. Think about whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about those things. Read up upon those. Ponder about those things. You will feel your thoughts lifted and feeling light. And then cultivate this inner godly character of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Our godly character is very closely tied to God's character. Well, a beautiful inner godly character. And if you read through the Bible, you will see that God's character is portrayed and clearly showed. It's not on the script, it's not on there, but if you read in Exodus, you will see that God is slow to anger, compassionate. He loves justice. God's character is what he wants to restore in us. But it is our responsibility. It is part of what we have to bring to God as an offering. It is what we have to lay down. This, of course, goes against society, about the society norms and what is promoted outside in society. It pressurizes people to alter themselves. It pressurizes people to think that they need to spend all their money on glamorizing how they look. But God says, no, you can be free from that pressure to say that you will only be judged. The only worth is your outward appearance. God says you are so much more. God says that your inner beauty was made pure and holy and wonderful and beautiful. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend in God's presence, we become more and more beautiful. Until the day that we are joined with him and we see that glory that we are truly are, and we realize that we are more beautiful than what we could ever imagine. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are godly characteristics. And these are exciting. It's exciting to think of a world that has people that are compassionate, that are kind, that are humble, that are gentle, and that are patient. Have you ever worked with someone or had a friend that had these characteristics, and you, every once in a while, you say, wow, you're such a wonderful person to be around with, right? Have you experienced that? We have the capacity to cultivate that in ourselves as well. Now, I'm passionate about families, and I always look, even in my own family, how we can become more like God and how we can reflect God's will for our family more closely. And there is also in the media this idea or this what they portray as a successful, beautiful family is a family with a big house and a fancy car, and everybody's there standing together. And isn't this also the same as the outward beauty, where these people many times in their homes suffer from broken relationships, verging on divorce, poor decisions, cold-heartedness, loveless families? I think God has a plan that our families also cultivate that inner beauty. Of course, you can always strive to be this beautiful example of success and of perfection, but many times this results in extreme expenses, which later becomes even more debt, which later becomes a great burden on the whole family. People thinking that the only measure of success is our outward beauty. And to be honest, I think what we all desire deep down are families of beautiful people. And the difference is that a beautiful family looks beautiful, but a family made from beautiful people all together will make that time together that they spend together full of that compassion and humility. And those characteristics, can you imagine your family, how different it would be if everybody lived together in compassion? If everybody in your family were kind to each other? If people were humble? If there was a gentleness and patience? It touches on what my personal dream and hope for the new heaven. Beautiful people coming together, doing life together. I honestly believe and pray and know that it is possible for the whole earth to be full of beautiful people. People with an inner godly character, an inner beauty, a godly character. And that is something exciting to pray about and to share with people, is to say, we all have the capacity to have an inner beauty. And if we lay down ourselves, what we think, how we are defined, our evil desires, and we say, let us take up God's definition of beauty, of who I am, and renew yourself. Imagine the world full of people with this beautiful character inside of them. Beauty goes, I think God made beauty to be part of our lives. I think God made us to hunger and yearn for beauty. And this is what I read in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I think this inner beauty yearns for beauty. Yearns not only for the beauty of God, but yearns for the beauty of his creation. And can we have the next picture of the flower? This is an orchard flower. An orchard flower that I managed to keep alive in my house. It takes a lot of care but there is so much beauty in God's creation. There is so much. I even made a close-up of the inside. And when I look at this, I'm in awe of how God created this earth. So beautiful, so rich in colors and variety. If you think of a world that just comes from its own, from itself, if the world just became of itself, it just had to survive, you know? If you think about something that just needs to survive, does it need to waste time and energy on making itself beautiful? God made this creation not just for us to live in and to be alive, to eat, but he also created it to be beautiful, to share with us his beautiful character, his creative genius of weaving in beauty into everything we see around us. It's something I want to encourage us, is that we need to experience beauty. We were made for beauty. And maybe you should get a plant, you know, keep it alive, see it flower, and take the time to stand still and appreciate beauty. We are rushing past in our lives. We are rushing to our jobs. We are rushing back. Everything is quick and busy. And sometimes we need to stand still and stop. Pray to build our inner beauty, but stand still and appreciate and experience the beauty that God has made and created for us. It is definitely a challenge in a country or where we've got such, the winters are so gloomy and everything is so dark. But if you feel down, it's good to go into God's creation and to pray. Walk in a forest and pray to God and feel that connection, because we are made beautiful and for beauty. And I think that is really precious. That is really precious, to connect with God's heart through this, through beauty that is all around us. My brother-in-law, he is in South Africa, and he worked as a field guide. And he takes people on hikes through the South African fynbos. It's a special type of plant. It's got a very small leaves and very tiny flowers. And he is one of the happiest people I know. So if you want to go and see buildings and architecture, great. But I think if you want to feed your soul, go into nature and experience nature. It is definitely something that me and my wife share, this yearning to go back and to experience nature and this beauty of God's creation. And I want to encourage you for that. It's really something special to experience. What I wanted to show today is that beauty is not just in the eye of the beholder. Beauty is also in the mind of the Creator. Beauty is not just in the eye of the beholder, but also beauty is in the mind of the Creator. And perhaps what I'm speaking about is foreign. Perhaps what I'm saying to you doesn't make sense, or rather it challenges you, or you feel ugly inside. Or perhaps during your life, something that you held as precious and beautiful was broken or stolen. And God knows that this world can be tough. God knows that the sin that's in this world can kill and steal from us. God knew that our inner beauty was tarnished through the fall. And he made a way. He made a way for restoration and redemption. There is a wonderful verse in Isaiah 61, verse 3. And provide for those who grieve in Zion. to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Jesus brought redemptive power onto the earth through the cross. Jesus knew that we were this beautiful being. Jesus knows, God knows that we have the potential to truly shine a light in this world that is so different than what people are normally used to, because they just know their brokenness. They just know their evil desires. God said, I want to reconnect with people. I want them to reconnect with me. I want them to experience my beauty in my presence. And Jesus came and he died on the cross. And that cross made the way for us to overcome grief and shame and disgrace. What has been lost, God can restore. What has been broken, God can repair. Your life is not defined by that one moment where what you held and what you had and at once was precious and was broken and destroyed. That doesn't define your life. What defines you is your restoration process that you do together with Jesus Christ, where he builds and shapes you and forms you. And every day you stand up with a new hope, with a new excitement that I'm going to be beautiful. And with God's help, I can become more beautiful. In our relationships, we also see that the devil steals and kills and destroys in our relationships. And the one verse, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8, echoes something that I have seen and felt and believed through my entire life, is that love never fails. Love never fails. In your families, when you've made the decision that you want to be that beautiful person, that pleasant aroma, that fragrance that touches people and that lifts their spirits, you want to bring that to your family. God, I believe God wants to help us to also bring our family into this wonderful revelation of being beautiful. And one day to restore this family that God made to be beautiful. God's plan for families is that they are families of beautiful people, providing this wonderful environment for children to grow and for husband and wife to share a life together. Jesus speaks of a crown of glory, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. It is something that, and I know we're getting close to the heart of the matter, but Isaiah is prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to earth. God sees your pain, and God sees the brokenness. And God says he wants to invite us to join with him and to partner with him and to take up this life that we have, and to redeem it and to restore it to become a crown of glory to become a crown of glory. And I believe that this is a key aspect of our Christian life, is renewing ourselves. I believe it's really important for us to look at ourselves and, as God said, be humble enough to lay down your life. And today, it's a part of a decision that we need to make. We need to decide if we want to look to God to define beauty, or we want to look to the world to define beauty. If we want to look to God to define what we could become, or if we want to look to the world to see how we fall short of their ever-growing greed and exploitation. I want to pray for us. Can we close our eyes? Lord God, we thank you that in your word you give us hints of a life. You give us an exciting glimpse into your original design for us as human beings, Lord God. You show us of possibilities of endless joy and happiness that we can experience in our life on earth, Lord God. Lord Jesus, and we know that this can be achieved through you, Lord God. We know that this can be experienced through your Holy Spirit, by entering into your presence, Lord God. Lord Jesus, and today we look to ourselves. We look to our innermost being, Lord God. We look to our hearts. And sometimes we don't like what we see, Lord God. Sometimes we don't like what we've become, Lord God, but we know that you showed us that the first step is to acknowledge that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that, Jesus, you come and you invite us. You come with your gentle spirit. You come and you touch our hearts, Lord God. You come and you die on a cross. You come to earth, Lord God, to restore us and to bring us back into the relationship with you, Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, you have poured your blood onto this earth, Lord God, to say that you want to join, to partner with us. You want to be part of our lives, Lord God. You want to be part of the restoration of our beauty, Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Lord God, you are patient, Lord God. You are patient with us because your love is also gentle, Lord God. Your gentle love comes every day and presses on our hearts, Lord God, to say, please let me in. Jesus knocks on our hearts and he says, please let me in. And in that moment, when we realize that we need God, we need Jesus, and our hearts release or acknowledge the fact that who we are deep inside is not who God made us to be. Thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful release, that wonderful feeling of joy and freedom that we experience in our hearts, Lord God. That wonderful experience of all of a sudden seeing who we truly are. a created, wonderful being made in the image of God. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing this to us. Thank you for giving us hope of glory. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can now take up this partnership with you to restore ourselves to our former glory, and Lord God, to restore our families as you have intended us to be, Lord God. And God, to step out into this world, Lord God, and to shine a light, Lord God, to shine a light to other people and to show them that there is so much beauty in them, Lord God. So much beauty in us and around us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.